Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Giuliotti here on another awesome Sunday night. And this is the Gift of Grace, where we read and teach God's Word. We proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you've all had an awesome week. We've been talking a lot about Pentecost, what led up to it, what actually happened on the morning of Pentecost when the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit happened with fire and wind. And last week, we started talking in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul writes to the Corinthian church about the gifts of the Spirit and how the gifts are to be used by people in the church, and how the gifts are used for the building up of the church. And this coordinates with Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul says that the gifts are for the building up of the body, which, of course, he's talking about the mystical body. He's talking about the body of Christ, the body of Messiah, which is the entire church. And tonight we're going to see how he kind of carries this picture of the body forward. But last week he talked about how the Spirit, in a very sovereign way, passes out gifts to each person as he sees fit, as he wills, as he deems necessary. And as he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. In other words, receiving the gift that the Spirit gives in a sovereign way is not for your benefit, it's for the benefit of all of those around you. It's for the benefit of all of the people in the church. It's for the benefit of the people that you encounter in your day-to-day life as you evangelize people, as you witness to people about Jesus, as you proclaim the gospel to people. And here we are in the, well, we're already almost a fourth of the way through the 21st century. So we can't even say early in the 21st century anymore, like we used to say. Here we are this far into the 21st century, and 90% of the world, including so many people in the church, have no idea what the gospel is. And this is why we're seeing the degeneration of the culture, why we're seeing the great falling away that Paul writes about in his epistles to Thessalonians and to Timothy. And we see that people can't tolerate real teaching because they have no foundation. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul's writing about how the Spirit gives these gifts in order to provide benefit to all that you interact with, to preach not only the salvation that can only come through the cross, doesn't come from being nice, and it doesn't come from being good, and it doesn't come from going to church every Sunday, and it doesn't come from saying enough prayers, and it doesn't come from being tolerant of anything. Nowadays, we're being told we have to be tolerant of everything. That is not the gospel. The gospel is that Jesus died for you, that he sacrificed his blood for you, and that's the only way that sin can be forgiven, and it's the only way that you can be saved. And this is the message that the world desperately needs to hear. So what Paul is talking about here is the Spirit sovereignly gives these gifts to people for the benefit of everyone, not for your benefit. They're not for your personal enjoyment, and they're certainly not so that you can boast about whatever gift you got. It's for the benefit of all. It's for the building up of the body. It's for the building up of the church. And I have to emphasize again, based on what I just said a minute ago, and those of you that know me are tired of me saying this, just because somebody's sitting in the pew next to you or the chair next to you at church, that doesn't mean that they know what the gospel is. That doesn't mean that they even understand what's going on there. You don't know necessarily what's going on in their mind. And so we're to even preach and evangelize people that are sitting in the church until they tell you otherwise. And, you know, that's part of why these gifts come, because not only is the body built up, but the body is strengthened. When Paul writes to Timothy, you know, Timothy was his student, his protege. Paul led him to the Lord, and I think it was in Lystra. But anyway, he was a young man whose father was Greek and his mother was Jewish, and he had studied the scriptures that he learned from his mother and his grandmother. And he comes to faith in Jesus, listening to Paul. Paul refers to him as his son, his spiritual son. Paul is his mentor, a spiritual father, a spiritual director, we might say. But when Paul writes the letters to him, there's two letters, of course, to Timothy. In the second letter, I can't remember the chapter and verse, but Paul says that you have to learn and you have to go over the same things over and over again, and you have to teach in a diligent, powerful way, because that's how you build people up that are already believers, they're already in the church, but you're strengthening them. You're putting them on a stronger, more secure foundation. And sometimes they need to hear the same message multiple times. Sometimes they have to hear the same teaching several times. And you know how it is. You say, you hear somebody doing a teaching and you say, didn't he just do that a few months ago? Well, whether he did or didn't, it doesn't matter, because these things are to increase your faith, strengthen your foundation. And there's nothing in the scripture that you can hear too many times. Too many times. I'm always fascinated because I teach so many Bible studies and all over the place. And, you know, if I mention what book are we going to do next, and people start to talk and somebody says, oh, how about such and such? And somebody else says, oh, you know, I did a study on that book 9 years ago. Well, I always find that kind of funny, because so what if you already did it? It never hurts to do it again. In fact, like I always mention, the ancient rabbis said that studying scripture was like peeling an onion. There's always another layer, and then there's another layer, and then there's another layer. So Paul tells Timothy, keep teaching the same stuff, and you keep reviewing it yourself, because it's important for you in your job as a teacher. If you're a history teacher and you're teaching the Civil War, for example, and you come across a book that you hadn't read before that gives you a different background, a different idea about something that happened at that time, when you're teaching, when you're doing the lecture the next day, you may incorporate that into the teaching, because now you have a different angle, you have a different emphasis, you have a different stone that you can put into the foundation. And that's why Paul tells Timothy, keep reading, keep teaching, and keep reviewing it in your own mind. He also says it's one and the same Spirit that gives all these things. And he distributes the gifts as he wills. In other words, it's sovereign. It's a sovereign decision. We don't get gifts because we think we deserve them. We don't get gifts because we think we've worked really hard. We don't get a gift because we think, you know what, I know a lot more than that guy over there, so I should get more powerful gifts than him because, frankly, I don't think he really does that much. That's not the point. The point is that the Spirit sovereignly gives the gifts. And all that to summarize last week, we're already about halfway through this week. But that's okay. It doesn't matter. And if Jesus comes back before we're done, that's great. But in 1 Corinthians 12, that was verse 11 I just alluded to, but one in the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. And that's he with a capital H, meaning the Holy Spirit, not the person. Then Paul goes into making an analogy between the physical body that we have and the body of Messiah, the body of Christ, which is the church. And, you know, you have to understand, this is a great analogy and a great way to think about it. And keeping in mind that ancient people really had pretty primitive ideas about what each organ of the body did. And, you know, you can just think how many times we say our heart is in something and we have that in our heart and my heart was broken and my heart is just so full of joy about this and that and the other thing. Because they thought the heart was the center of your emotions. Well, we still carry that on and we all know what that means. But all your heart is a water pump. In fact, it's two water pumps side by side, but your heart doesn't hold emotions. All your heart does is pump. You know, it always used to amaze me in my younger days that it was the 1600s before people realized that blood circulated and that that's how we live because our blood is always circulating. But so Paul had a pretty rudimentary understanding of the human body in its physical sense, but you don't have to have a knowledge of anatomy and physiology and biochemistry to understand what he's saying. Verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. For if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, these members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are necessary. The body has multiple members. The body has many members. They had no idea, as I said, about the physiology. They had no idea of what the interaction was between different organs. And so he compares the body of Christ to our physical body and says it has many members, but it's one. And he says we're all brought into the same body. We're all baptized into the same body. We're all filled with the same Spirit. And one Spirit makes all the different members one body. And the whole body is alive through the Spirit. So that's pretty cool. You might want to reread this, of course, because you can't just take this superficial reading and these superficial comments. You want to spend time reading the passage, reading it several times, maybe reading some commentaries that you like. People always ask me, what commentaries do you use? And I always say old ones. Because if you use old commentaries, you go back to the fathers, you go back to people who wrote in the Middle Ages, you go back to people that wrote during and right after the Reformation, they wrote solid, grounded works, taking into account the ancient languages and the context. And, you know, if you get a commentary that was made in 2015, it's all superficial stuff about how does this make you feel, and isn't it nice that Paul did that, and, you know, in other words, it's more fluid than it is solid. So I always just use old commentaries. If you can read things by the fathers, like if you try to read Augustine, you know it's very difficult. But once you've read it, and if you try to understand what he's saying, it's incredibly powerful compared to things that are written today. But anyway, that's a whole different story. He talks about how these different parts, these different members of the body, all through one spirit, all through the spirit, become one body. And this is the body of Messiah. Every part of the body doesn't have the same function, doesn't have the same use. Some seem to be more important. And yes, for example, if you have some accident and one of your fingers has to be amputated, that is much better than if you have a closed head injury and have a brain injury that leaves you incapacitated. Yes, some members are more important, but all the members work together. All the members work together. All the parts can't have the same function, or the body wouldn't be able to function. So God sovereignly made Adam out of clay and arranged, and not just Adam, but he arranged all the organs of animals and all the different structures of plants to his own will. And he used physiological similarities in animals and in people because the system works well. But he sovereignly puts the body together. He sets all the parts. And it's the same with the church. The church has different parts with different functions, with different gifts, acting through all the people that are there. The people represent the different parts of the body. And he shows us how the parts of the body cannot quarrel with each other. In other words, all the parts have to function together. Even though they all have separate functions, they work together for the good of the body. If they all had the same function, the body wouldn't be able to function. So all the parts of the church work together for the good of the whole. As he said earlier in verse 9, the gifts that the Spirit pours out are for the benefit of all, not just for the benefit of one person, not for the benefit of three people, not for the benefit of a select group of people that are the leaders of that particular church. It's for everyone who is there. And because of that, because the parts of the body can't quarrel, he says he implies the different members of the mystical body, the different members of the body of Christ, can't argue with each other, can't be jealous of each other, can't despise each other. You can't have divisions because the heart doesn't do what the pancreas does. The kidneys don't do what the brain does. The muscles of your limbs don't do what your intestine does. They can't argue with each other. So he says, the members of the church can't argue with each other. There should be no divisions. And he adds to, in verse 25 and 26, we can't read all of it, but he adds to that if one member suffers, all the members suffer. If one member is honored, all the members or all the body is honored. So he says, we're all individual members of the body of Christ. We're each an individual part of it. None of us are the whole body. We can't think of ourselves as so indispensable that if I'm not here, this church will never be able to function. If I'm not here preaching or teaching or organizing or leading, or if I didn't have this great gift and were physically here, this church would never be able to go on. Nobody would ever be able to be evangelized. Nobody would ever be able to worship. Nobody would ever be able to be counseled. Nobody here would be praying. That's ridiculous. We all depend on each other. The whole body depends on each of its individual parts. And Paul's trying to show the Corinthians how God expects his church body, the mystical body, if you want to call it that, to function. And he makes the comparison to the real body. And then he goes on to say that God has set up different offices. Down in, starting in 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and I will show you a more excellent way. That's going to lead into chapter 13, of course, which is called the love chapter. He set different offices. The apostles founded the church. The church was founded on apostolic authority. The teachings of the apostles went down through their disciples, through the elders, through all the things that, if you read through Acts, you can see how churches were established. And as we said, the church in Corinth was a very interesting church where the two leaders were the man who had been the leader of the synagogue and a prominent Gentile man who had been a prominent pagan, you might say. These two men were in charge of the church in Corinth. In fact, they met at the Gentile man's house, which was right next door to the synagogue. So there's an authority. You know, it talks about prophets who give revelation. They're inspired by the Holy Spirit, and they give inspiration. We see that in the Old Testament, the Tanakh, where the Spirit comes on a prophet who says, "Thus says the Lord," and then makes a statement. We have that within the church. We have teachers who teach us the word, who teach us the basics of Christian doctrines. We have healers and miracle workers and government of the church and various levels of the gifts of tongues, praying in tongues, interpreting tongues. And the Spirit decides who is who. The Spirit decides who gets what gifts. So we are not to be envious or jealous of saying, how come that guy gets to preach and I don't? Yeah, I know I have a healing ministry and I've seen many healings and I love praying with people, but I don't understand why I can't be teaching like that guy. Well, the gifts are given sovereignly. And then he closes with some good advice. He says, desire the best gifts. The greatest gift, which he's going to tell us in the next chapter, which we're not going to do now, which is love, holds everything together, cements everything else together, and should not allow for jealousy and conflict, and should help the body to work together for the benefit of all, that he mentions back in chapter 9, I mean, in verse 9. So I hope you see the two main points are the gifts are given sovereignly to help the body, to help the church, to grow the church. The gifts are given within the body as how people relate to each other and how the church functions. Whew. I don't know what we'll do next week, but I hope you'll join us and we'll read and teach God's word and proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. So I hope you have an awesome week.